The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. We're on Man in Line, open line through till 1 today. Call 66 13 68 and you're on the air. Text what's 166 177, WhatsApp 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. And the choice is yours, whatever you want to blow into the consciousness of the Isle of Man, you're on the air. Oh, so what happened at the airport? Bit of a queue, to be quite honest. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward, MHK, says she understands the anger and frustration people who missed flights as a result of delays caused by problems with security equipment at Ronalds Way Airport over the weekend. The issues arose during a scheduled shutdown of the system. Were you involved? Were you there? Were you waiting for somebody? Were you seeing somebody off? What was the atmosphere like? Michelle Hayward.
So it happened because we were doing some planned maintenance. And in fact, this was the third of these planned maintenance periods that we were working through. We've previously closed the power off to that part of the building, started it up again, and everything's been fine. So we've done that twice. On the third iteration, that the machines wouldn't restart again. So particularly the security scanners, one of them wouldn't start up at all. And the other one started up and decided it was still going to be a bit glitchy. So we kept having problems with it. And the engineers have worked very hard to try and get us back to a functional airport. Is it acceptable? No, clearly not. We caused delays to people's flights yesterday, and I understand and I sympathise with the concern that was expressed by people and the anger that they expressed. Was it foreseeable? Absolutely not, because we've shut down twice in the past and it's not been an issue. And the same procedures were followed this time, as far as I understand, and for some reason we've had an issue. So we're working to understand what the cause was.
A number of passengers actually missed their flights, and of course, had it been the airline's fault, they could have claimed compensation. In this case, it's the airport itself. Can they claim against it?
In their first instance, the advice for the passengers is to go and talk to their airlines. And if they decide that the issue rests with them, then they will be paying compensation. But where it's out of control, passengers will need to contact their travel insurance.
Some people have been suggesting that maybe this kind of routine process should have been carried out at a quieter time, such as maybe after the TT.
It was actually, as I said, it was the third in a series of planned maintenance bits. And it's important that we keep on top of the planned maintenance, because otherwise you'll get sudden catastrophic failure and that would be infinitely worse. At the point where we've got engineers on site and we've closed things down to do the maintenance that we needed to do, you know, we were doing it working overnight, and it's just the next morning when things turned on again, some of the equipment refused to play ball.
That's the minister. Insurance seems to be the key, doesn't it? Let's see what the insurance companies say. But again, it didn't work, did it? Any thoughts? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. That's Michelle Hayward, who was talking to Simon Richardson. And a message or 10 I've got to get through today, including this is Anne, who said, Andy, a distributor to the UK's major supermarkets has said it's being held to ransom by cyber hackers. Logistics firm Peter Green Chilled says it supplies supermarkets, including Tesco, Sainsbury and Aldi, but isn't in the top 30 of UK food distributors. Given the impact of cyber attacks on Marks and Spencer and the Co-op, and another involving a supplier to Tesco, should be raising major alarm bells given our food supply's dependency on such a narrow band of suppliers. The only island distributor that doesn't seem to be under threat is Spar. Well, of course, that's the brewery. And heaven knows what would happen if the brewery got hacked. How would they pour the beer? Thank you, Anne. It's just one of those times, isn't it, where the geek somewhere sitting in a garret in California or Kazakhstan is kind of holding everybody to ransom. So we wonder, Claire Barber was saying that we're looking at increasing our freezer capacity on the Isle of Man. Well, you never know. Perhaps we should look to grow more food. You know, the police are promoting road safety, says Gaz, yet bushes have overgrown road signs and greenery sticking out into the roads in places, Ramsey to Douglas. Bushes and their safety should surely be an issue. Why haven't they cut back the overgrown greenery on road signs? Surely that's one thing to do. 376 has a plaintive lament. Can the airport get any worse? Well, the airport's fine. It's just that, remember, we are a first world international business centre. And we rely on communications. And when the communications don't work, we run the risk of looking a bit silly. And looking silly is not what you need to do in business. Howard's on with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listen to Michelle Haywood. Okay, it was hellish inconvenient. These things can and do happen where the equipment goes down. But isn't it strange how they're saying they're doing maintenance, scheduled maintenance, etc., and they're still getting it wrong, but the airport and another section of this particular person who's in charge of the harbours. Now, they hadn't dredged them, and they admitted themselves, for 5 years. Now, where was the scheduled maintenance by the DOI? Any time there's something goes catastrophically wrong, those three letters are there, DOI. We got the horse trams, we got the promenade, we got Liverpool landing stage, the harbour itself, which is a vital piece of equipment, and, well, the airport here now. And I listened to her talking, and she said that they had been doing it overnight, and the equipment or the power didn't come on the next day. That can and does happen in lots of cases. But, you know, it's funny how this has all seemed to be around the DOI. All the, they got such a conglomeration. There's another classic example of ill thought out for the people travelling to the steam trains coming off what we are encouraging. Passengers to come ashore, use our steam trains at a cost, and then, you know, failing to put on any service for take them from the ship.
Well, the thing is that, Howard, you know all about, and you'll know all about customer care and customer service, working, I mean, volunteering as you do for the Victorian Society at the Camera Obscura. You have to do things, you have to make it easy for the customer, and I just wonder whether the DOI actually get that. I just wonder whether they think that what they do is enough and the customer can kind of, well, you know, just work it out themselves.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid that sounds very true to what the mindset is within the DOI. And they've got so many departments within that, all under one umbrella, that they're all fighting between themselves, apparently, to come to the top of the pile and be the best. But they're failing miserably in lots of cases. There are others that are satisfactory, but... And I love the racing, the TT, etc., all the motorcycle racing, but this is what they seem to just have their heads around. Let's get the TT ready. And then what happens to the other, well, 50 weeks of the year? And we have people coming, and they're trying to encourage up to 500,000 people a year. We used to have that. And nowadays, I saw it on the internet, people are not going to Spain. You're not going to get the bucket and spades, and we don't particularly want the stag nights, hen nights. But there is a residue of the people who are not going to Spain will want to try somewhere different. And I don't know if you remember Jeff Corkish when he was at the steam packet, they had a bus that used to go across, and it was all done up to look like a Manx steam packet boat. And they used to drive that across and drive round the British Isles. And one of your regular people coming on your programme, Brian Stoll, he also worked for the, we called it the Tourist Board, and he and quite a few others used to go across. and push the Isle of Man. Here, they seem to say, well, we'll wait till they come and then we'll see what we can do. It doesn't work like that.
As you mentioned, Howard, I mean, back in the heyday of everything, well, actually, strictly speaking, the heyday was 1914, because that season was the most people that ever came to the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it started to go downhill at the end of the 70s. But when hundreds of thousands of people did come here, by and large, they were in the hands of private enterprise, Howard. They were in the hotels and the boarding houses and the restaurants and the cafes and the pubs. The private enterprise looked after them. I mean, do you think it's a government's job to do this?
Well, the government have taken on this job, and they should be putting their heads above the pavement and going out there to attract the business, not sitting back and resting on somebody else's laurels. The classic example, and it's something I've said all the time, the brewery, when they've done away with the tenants in the public houses and put managers in, that was when things started to fail. And the tenant, he had to work hard to keep his business and his custom. Whereas now, a manager, he doesn't even know where he'll be from week to week. He can be moved around the pub. So there's no incentive to make the place better, a nicer atmosphere. And, you know, this is where, as you rightly just said, it was free enterprise. It was private industry. And who's going to now come to a place here where you've got a government that seems to be taking a backward step every time you make or you try to make one forward? They take two backwards and make life difficult. But I'm not saying that yesterday or over the weekend was wrong. And personally speaking, people have missed their flights. I can't sympathise with them, but they must have been cutting it fine anyway. Connecting flights, I'm assuming it was. But the DOI have got too many pies, and they got their fingers in an awful lot of them and making a lot of mistakes. And as I say, they've just spent over 70,000 now as an emergency treatment for what they would, for a private company, would consider neglect.
Well, we just have to wait and see, really, because where the government's concerned, obviously, while they're in charge, they go at the pace that they feel is required. And we really just have to fall in behind them, Howard.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The government, as they always say, work for us. And if my boss didn't like the way I worked at the time, I wouldn't have lasted as long as I did in the job. And I was 32 years in with the one company and enjoyed it and looked after the customers. And this is what we used to have when I was at the airport, over 100 private aircraft, small aircraft coming in, TT week, etc. And we never got holidays. You knew full well that that was a busy period and you were needed. And that was the way that the mindset was, that you did the job and you did it to the best of your ability. On Sunday morning, I was up at the Obscura and we had Americans, Australians, and various other people from all around the world. That was in the morning, on Sunday morning. And again, it's only a small item, but it's part of the big gearbox. And that is everything that's needed. If one cog goes, and the cog at the moment seems to be the DOI.
Okay. All right, Howard. We appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Bye now.
20 past 12. What are the rumours, says Bill on 248, that Douglas RNLI has closed? The boathouse is derelict. The boat's parked in the marina. Surely, is Douglas RNLI actually working? They'd struggle to get the boat out if the bridge was down, wouldn't they? They should be busy this time of the year with the TT and the summer coming. Ray's on now. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Andy.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, right. Just to reiterate what Howard said, but a bit more blunt. This minister who's in charge of this airport needs to take a little bit more of a hands-on approach when dealing with the airport. This lady is taking up a very, very healthy paycheck every month. Now, I'm not a well-educated man, but you would have thought she would have gone down to the airport and gone through everything and asked a question. Quite a simple question. In the worst case scenario, any of these machines go down and we can't get them online again, what have we got in place as backup? Bit by bit, piece by piece, this island's going to the dogs, and it's all from the lack of common sense. I think a lot of these ministers are picking up their paycheck. They're not really doing a lot for it. And as for who's to blame, she is.
I mean,
if she had any decency, she would resign.
Do you expect the politician to be in charge or the senior civil servants?
No, the politician, at the end of the day, the buck stops with her. She is to oversee everything. Irrespective of what the airport said, she should have asked a simple question. In a worst-case scenario, we're left with no machines. What have we got in place that would do as backup, even if it's manual? These people that are getting these flights, they're not just flying to England. I'd say the vast majority of them are flying to England and then connecting onto another flight for the family holiday. That's just been ruined. Absolutely ruined. And as for paying out, the airport's not going to pay, and the insurance company certainly won't. So they've just lost a considerable amount of money. It's applaudable. It's absolutely despicable, it really is.
And remember, this weekend, TT starts, so heaven knows, they must be keeping their fingers crossed that they work.
Yeah, it's like these ministers, they get way too much money, but they're not doing the homework, you know. They're switching off. As soon as it 5 o'clock comes, that's me finished. It doesn't work like that. Common sense should prevail, but obviously it hasn't. Right, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Ray. Thanks for calling today. Well, nobody's suggesting that anybody does this deliberately. But there have been a lot of ministers of infrastructure. I mean, before the infrastructure, it was transport. Before that, it was the DHPP, Highways, Ports and Properties. So it goes way back. And most recently, of course, we've had quite a few department heads, ministers, if you were. Currently, I think the chief executive is Emily Curfee. And I think Geoffrey Robinson is up there towards the top as well. And the minister is Michelle Haywood. Now, it was said, I mean, at the government, the election a few years ago, it was often mentioned the fact that people thought that the DOI was just too big. There's too much going on, and trying to keep all the plates spinning at once really is difficult, maybe beyond some people to do that. But this obviously keeps happening. Something keeps going wrong. Nobody's suggesting that anybody goes to work in the morning think, how can I muck things up? Nobody would do that. But the trouble is, in government, when things do go wrong, who's accountable? As Howard said, if it were private enterprise, somebody would lose their job. Somebody will be demoted. Something would happen. They certainly wouldn't get a bonus. So what do you think we as the public, as the ratepayers, the taxpayers, the voters, what do you think it is that we deserve? Pam's on now. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I just want to ask the question.
Yeah.
Has the Summerland site been sold by the government?
Not that I know of. Why do you ask?
Well, my husband was down there last Friday, and he was parked in what I call the Summerland site, just going to see the horses.
Yeah.
And when he come back to his car, there was a couple putting stickers on all the vehicles in there, and he got talking to them, and they told him it was private land. So they said, as from Monday, nobody will be parking here. We'll be putting big gates up.
And did they identify themselves?
Pass.
Right.
Pass on that one.
Well, I'd be interested to know more about that.
I was just wondering, because normally the fair people put a lot of their stuff in there.
Yeah.
Don't they all park up in there? The caravans and that. So I was just wondering, has the government sold the land?
Right.
That's
all. We'll try and find out. Pam, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Bye.
26 minutes past 12. Do you know anything about this? Is it true? Can you park there for the moment? Maybe they're just sort of roping it off for when the fair arrives, which I think is in about a week's time or so, isn't it? The fun fair's here. Here comes Joy with us now. Hi, Joy.
Oh, hello, Andy. Thank you for having me on. I'd like to talk to everyone about the Family Library Service,
okay,
which is going to close on July the 30th this year due to a lack of funding. And I didn't realise what a wide range of services it offers, so I thought maybe I'm the only one who doesn't know. Can I read out what they do?
By all means.
People might want to help.
An awful lot of stuff, don't they? Yes, go ahead.
They do. They offer four services altogether, which covers the entire island community. They have the mobile library service and the whole home library service, which provides a lifeline to members of the population who aren't able to go to an ordinary library. They take books to people who are unable to leave their homes, even. It's a really good service that they provide, and if the family library service closes, all that will be gone. There'll be a lot of people left without any service whatsoever. And another one they've set up is called the Bibliotherapy, and this is a unique service that they're pioneering. It's never been done before, and they visit care homes and they take along photos, music, books and props to stimulate conversations, particularly with patients who have dementia. I think that would be a very worthwhile thing to be continued. And the actual family library itself, which is in the building in Douglas, this service is regularly used by several island schools, especially HBN, which is very close to it, and also Annika, Manor Park School and Jubilee School, Ballagield, Ballacottia, Ballacameen and St Ninian's. And for children, any child on the island can go and join the family library, and there isn't a set fee. They pay what they can afford, and the children can borrow up to 12 books at a time. So it's amazing value for money, and at a time when people are using food banks to feed their children, even on our prosperous island, books are a luxury that some families just can't afford. But here's this little building full of amazing books, and it's going to be gone by July if people don't do anything about it.
Are you anything to do with it, Joy?
No.
Okay, I just wondered.
No, but my children use it, my granddaughter uses it, my grandson uses it, and I heard about it and thought, oh no, that's terrible. So I've written to some MHKs. I want people to write to MHKs so that maybe somebody will bring this up in Tynwald.
I just wonder, Joy, how has it got to this? Because you're quite right. Anybody I've ever spoken to about the family library says it's just a universal good idea, well executed. How has it come to the fact that they're out of money?
So apparently they had some government funding, but I don't know whether things have become more expensive. The building, the electricity, people's wages, I don't know if that's all involved, but they've just run out of money, and they have a very large amount of money they need to find before they can continue. And I just think if this service goes, that's it. It's not going to come back again,
You're dead right. You've hit the nail on the head, Joy. When something like the family library goes, it will be a devil of a job to recreate something like this. And heavens above, it could be that somebody would say, put the government in charge of it. Well.
Yeah. Well, I wish they would. I wish somebody would suddenly say, right, well, we'll take it on. Because it's so important. Goodness me, think of all the children who can benefit. Reading is such a vital thing for them to do.
And that's the point. That's the point, Joy, because education and reading is what they call a non-tangible output. You can't count it, you can't measure it, but everybody knows it's a good thing. So getting children, and particularly anybody from lower income brackets, to go there and to read free of charge, then it's obviously a very good idea.
Well, why has it got to this situation and no one's done anything about it? I've told my MHKs that it's election year next year and I'm going to have to think really seriously about whether I vote for them or not, if they're not in agreement with me over this situation.
So, let's get it straight then, Joy. What do you think should happen?
Well, I don't know whether people should... Well, people should certainly make a loud noise about this and not let it just sort of go quietly. That's one thing. I think they have a Facebook page. I know people don't do letter writing these days. They do Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know much about it. But there is a Facebook page, so I'm assuming they can click a box and say, yes, we would like to keep it, or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know, really.
As sure as anything, Joy. Well, you're not the first person. I was going to bring this up later on, but you've brought it up quicker, so I'm very happy about that, because this is something I think that we need to make a noise about. The family library is under the radar, but it's very important for a very important part of society, and that is children.
And also vulnerable adults who are, and older people. All these people who are sort of in the society, in the population, but sometimes get a little bit overlooked.
Okay, all right. I appreciate it, Joy. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you for listening.
Not at all. 27 minutes before one. And if you want any more information, by the way, or if you'd like to perhaps give some help, the family library's number is 640650. Sue Jolly is in charge there. 640650. So something's got to happen. In 2022, the government agreed a five-year funding deal with support decreasing year on year, giving the charity, it's a charity, the family library, they've given them time to explore long-term options. There's an annual shortfall of £100,000. And there are financial pressures. It's been on the island for 14 years, but is set to close its doors by the end of July. The clock is ticking.
Relaxation takes time. That's why downstairs at Millichap's new stressless showroom, we encourage you to wander in, have a seat and lean back. Take time and find out which of Stressless's incredible range of different sized recliner chairs is right for you. Some have matching sofas too. Lean back on a Stressless. Relax your body and free your mind. Then you'll understand the Stressless Eureka moment. Experience the amazing new Stressless showroom downstairs at Millichap of Ramsey.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
Skipton International has a fixed rate bond at 4.4%.
Oh, really? That's a strong return. How does it work?
Skipton International is based in Guernsey, and with £100,000 or more deposit, you can lock in that great rate, fixed until 31st of March 2026.
Sounds like a smart move. I'll check it out.
For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium, book a special steam tea and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea, the Groudle Glen Railway. For times, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier service offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639-940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice.com.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
You never need to worry about being fed up, not stimulated or instantly happy. That's okay to feel like that.
The Breath Podcast, Spectacular Decision Making with Karen, is available now at manxradio.com.
Your body will let you know what you need to do.
Brought to you by The Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes before one, Ollie dropped a note in just to say, are these the people that do the mobile library, the big van? Yes. The mobile library travels around the Isle of Man, taking library services to the rural community. Port Erin, Onchan, Laxey, Andrus and Jerby, St John's and Peel, Port St Mary, Foxdale, Sulby and Kirkmichael. And the family library operate the mobile library. End of July, could be gone. You want more information, then call 640-650. Carol's with us now. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Candy. We were on the train going to Port Erin on Saturday, and there was two, obviously the train was full, and there was two older ladies we got chatting to, and they were saying they got the, you know, the tickets for around the island. And they were enjoying it, but they've been to the Laxey Wheel. Well, they went to the Laxey Wheel, but when they got off, I don't know when they were on the, I don't know how they were travelling, but they couldn't get there because it was too far for them, because one of them was on a stick.
Well, yeah, it is a long way, isn't it? If you're walking to get from the tram station to the wheel itself, it's a bit of a hike.
And as nobody thought about this before, because we are a tourist island, and the people that's coming over here, a lot of them are pensioners.
Yeah. I think, I mean, the other thing is, it's fair to say some people are hikers. Some people don't mind a walk, but that's if your mobility is impaired, that's not going to work, because a lot of it is uphill and down dale, isn't it?
Yeah. And I just thought I'd mention it because it is a long way, like whatever transport you get off at the cafe there, it's a long walk to the wheel. And they want people to go, don't they?
Well, we file it under customer care, don't we? And really, you know, the customer's not there to make their own way and to work it out for themselves. You're supposed to make it easy for the customer and charge them for the privilege.
They pay to see it. You know, it's getting to these places, what's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's all I had to say, Annie. I'm sorry,
anyway,
but that's all I had
was
to
it,
say.
Did you have a good time on the train?
We had. It was beautiful. Oh, it was beautiful down there. There was a wedding, the huts down there. There was a wedding Saturday and Sunday in the huts on the beach.
Oh, really?
And it was really, it was really busy as well,
Good. All right.
Okay, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Text me an email and WhatsApp, whatever you want to do. I can't understand why the airport staff didn't get passengers through for the next flight going so people could get through. I don't think they were prioritising. From what I hear, they weren't prioritising to get people through. A family library was spoken about this morning at Timwold. Hundreds and thousands of pounds being used to prop it up is far too much for its reach. We can't do any... the other library at the bus station. Doesn't make any sense, 382. Send me the message again. I think you got jumbled up. You've hit the nail on the head, says Ian. There's a lack of accountability in government these days. All we ever get is excuses, and in a lot of cases, nothing at all. I think it's a deplorable situation, says Ian, and the buck should stop now at the top, if not from a member of the department. Then it should fall to the Chief Minister. Ministers are well remunerated for what they do, and we, the public, aren't getting value for money. Government's failing. Perhaps it's time this particular Timwold ended its tenure early. The airport debacle is arguably the final straw, and I'm afraid, and ultimately, the Chief Minister's. If he doesn't take control, well, what should happen? And the Minister for the department, says Ian. I don't know if people are thinking that this technology age is falling in on itself. There are problems with all sorts of things, from scanners at airports to everything else we use without having to tap on the screen or spend hours and hours in queues online. It's far too complicated. It's getting worse, says 490. Thank you, 490. All I'll say is, 490, I appreciate what you're saying, but it's a bit late, isn't it? David H. said that regarding the family library, as usual, the government knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. Hey, Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, Andy. Just a short one.
you heard me the other day sort of agreeing with the government over that timber and stuff. Well,
yeah.
Fair enough. I think they've got the last load gone now. That's fair enough. But I'm afraid I've got to go back to normal now. This is the worst government we've ever had. Now, they can redeem themselves. How am I going to put this now? When I was 18, 100 years ago, then I fathomed out what was wrong at that when I was 18. And, of course, nobody took any notice. But what it is when I was 18, they brought in holidays. You get across the channel for 20 quid and all that sort of thing. But here, they never put the prices down. Now, they can redeem themselves. This is the steam packet. If they make the prices that people can get here for the right price. Now, we're into TT time now, and I haven't looked into it, but I suppose they'll put the prices up for the boys to get the bikes over, which is absolutely ridiculous. Now, they should put the prices down. Then we will get visitors. Now, we're talking now that they're not going to Spain, the same as they were, so because they've got troubles over there. So we'll get them here. And they will definitely come. We've got the weather at the moment. And you put the prices down, I keep them down, and we will get business. But it's up to them. It now belongs to the government. And the government is the people. And the government should subsidize, if you like, subsidize the boats to get people here. And then everybody will benefit. Not me, I'm too old, I won't benefit, but everybody else will. So it's as simple as that, Andy.
Right, okay. I'm trying to remember. What do we give people to do when they get here, though, Wilf?
Well, we're talking about we have to fix all these things up. Paint this and paint that and fix that and do this and the other. Well, that's all very well, but it all costs money to do these things. And it's the visitors that pay for these things to get them done. They're all done. They're actually wheeling all that sort of thing. At one time, we were going to scrap that way back. But you see, some bright said, like, well, we better keep this. This is a visitor attraction. Then we put another one up down at the beds, another wheel there. We've got the railway, we've got the tramway, we've got all that sort of stuff. This is what they want to do. I mean, if they want to come over here and play with slot machines and all the rest of it, they can go to Blackpool and get frozen on the promenade. That's up to them. But we don't need all that here. We just want ordinary people to come over and enjoy themselves, go on the beach and all this sort of stuff. It's a nice, quiet place to be.
Okay, all right.
But it's up to the commissioners. It's up to the government.
I was going to ask the commissioners, Wilf.
Yeah, well, they're pretty poor too, you know what I mean, but there we go.
Thanks for calling, Wilf. Cheers.
Okay.
All right, 16 minutes before one. Lots of people will come here, don't you think? I mean, if people find out about the Isle of Man, most people come here and love it. So is there a way that we can do that? I mean, Mr. Thompson, the steam packet, will say it's not his job to promote tourism. He's there running the Isle of Man steam packet on behalf of the main shareholder, which is Treasury. Now, remember, they've got to pay back the money it cost to build the boat. And at least High and I were on time and on budget. So it's not the steam packet's job to promote the Isle of Man. I mean, indirectly it will be, but it's not what they're there for. They're there to, first of all, shift freight. Secondly, to shift people. So is it the government? Visit Isle of Man. Long gone is the tourism. A Minister for Tourism and the Minister for Fun, who incidentally will be on Friday. David Cretney, now Douglas City Councillor, formerly the Minister of Fun, long-time parliamentarian, is back in Douglas City Council. He'll be on Friday. When hackers disrupt the internet, at least we'll still have books, says Ed. on 555. I can't believe that Michelle Haywood can justify spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on a project that benefits nobody and has the majority against it. Yet can't find a few thousand for a precious library that so many benefit from and have asked for. It's crazy. Who was it that created the DOI? Well, it's not the same budget, but we take the point. And a message in from 557 just says, why is everything the government's fault or for the government to sort out? Can't anybody do anything for themselves these days? 557. Well, the trouble is the government runs a lot of things. So you really, when you're up against the government, let's just take, for example, entertainment on the Isle of Man. The government runs the two big entertainment venues on the Isle of Man, the Villa Marina and the Gaiety Theatre, run by the government. So they organise the entertainment. That's why several free enterprise music promoters have just given up and gone away. They can't compete with the government. Now, whether or not the government is doing a proper job, good job, value for money, well, we don't quite know. But the government is in charge of most entertainment. The two big entertainment venues on the Isle of Man owned by the government. Is that a good thing or not? And Mr. Midgel lived in Laxey, used to run a minibus between the wheel and the beach. Long gone, says Gaz. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? And there were also, I'm trying to remember, who else ran a minibus around there as well? Was it Benny Fingerhut? He used to run one years and years ago. Do you remember that minibus between the beach and the wheel? Now they're charging £15.50 per person to visit the Laxey Wheel. Surely they can put on a bus from the tram station, says 109. How many 2P slots are there on the Isle of Man now? How many arcades are the Isle of Man now? What is there for children to do? I'm trying to think now. Is there a one-armed bandit arcade anywhere on the Isle of Man?
Office World, have we got it? Office World, yes we have. Office World.
For all things stationery, from pens, pencils, paper and ink cartridges to desking and seating, Office World has it. Call 666-366. Come down to Spring Valley Industrial Estate, Braddon, to find out more of what's in store.
Office World, have we got it? Office World, yes we have. Office World.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Right, I say, when you're looking for the perfect bathroom, get your silly walk over to Pacesetter, where you'll get friendly help and advice on bathrooms that will work for you. From practical, accessible bathrooms for aging users to the ultimate in luxury designs with walk-in showers and wet rooms, with no inquisitions, dead birds or hard sell. You'll always be on the bright side of life when you see the stunning range on display at Pacesetter Tile and Bathroom Studio, Harris Terrace, Douglas, or search online for Pacesetter Douglas.
TT 2025 is almost here and Manx Radio Motorsport will be on the air to bring you every moment of the action.
We have a new greatest of all time, Michael Dunlop, 27 TT wins.
Practice and race commentary, interviews with all the top riders, along with the latest weather and travel updates. We'll also bring you the pre-TT practice and race sessions at the Valan Circuit.
Listen at motorsport.manxradio.com, our smartphone app, DAB and AM 1368.
It all starts this coming Friday at 5 o'clock with our pre-TT coverage getting underway from 6.
Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world. Brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1 and Tony B's with us. Hi Tony.
Hi Andy, how are you doing?
Very well, what a lovely day.
Yeah, it's a grand day today. All I wanted to say was there's something that occurred to me with the listening to the stuff this morning, the airport and all the rest of the things. And you look around and everything the DLI touches doesn't work. Whatever it is, it just doesn't work. And yet you look at something that's run by volunteers, which is a very hard thing to do, but the camera obscura works like a dream. So my question is, why doesn't somebody in this government stop doing what they're told by the departments, sit down and work out that we should have more departments which are more focused on what they have to do, i.e. one Department of Transport. That's boats, trams, trains, and the airport. So we don't need the DOI to run any of those, but they're behind them all. And that is why everything gets lost, because there's nobody really singly responsible for it. So how can you manage the gigantic mess they've got unless you break it up?
Well, it was somebody's big idea once upon a time to create the Department of Infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was a wonderful thought that we'll save money because it'll be more efficient. And that is not necessarily true when you don't have the right management. And you can shout on Michelle Hayward, she's just taken all the flack, but ultimately, it's not really her fault. It comes back to the department managers.
Well, managing. Yeah, let me say that, because, you know, Michelle Hayward, as you say, she just happens to be the minister in the firing line at the moment, as Tim Baker was, do you remember, at the time of the promenade?
Yeah.
And Ray Harmer, they were just the ministers in the firing line, and they got all the hassle for it.
But in no case, anywhere, did anybody take any of the blame, hold their hand up and say, we got that wrong and we're going to fix it. Ever. They lost £500,000 somewhere, but nobody's ever said where it went. Nobody's ever said who approved moving it, but somebody did. Or they just don't have control. One of the two. I don't know which one it would be, but it's just so striking that, you know, you've got a department that's going from everything from sewage treatment all the way through to brushing your teeth to polishing your shoes to the roads. How can you possibly manage that as one department? You can't.
Can you imagine?
No multinational. Sorry?
Can you imagine the fuss that would be created, though, if tomorrow Mr. Cannon woke up tomorrow morning and said, I'm going to break up the Department of Infrastructure? Can you imagine the fuss and palaver they'd be doing that?
Well, I think the problem would be the people in the Department of Infrastructure wouldn't welcome it. And if you remember, Alf Cannon said exactly that before he took it over and then dumped it on somebody else. He took it over from some poor beggar because it wasn't working. And then said, I'm going to get this sorted out. And got rid of, the chief executive went or whatever. But he didn't do anything because the chief executive was useless anyway. But it comes back to, what are they going to do that's different? Are they just going to carry on doing the same thing and think it will give them a different result? That's the definition of insanity. So I really do think, I don't think it's down to Alf Cullen. I think it's down to the government as a whole. The people in charge of deciding policy is the government. They set the policy, and the people in the departments are supposed to carry that policy out and do it efficiently. And what happens is they do exactly what they want because nobody's supervising them. Because there's so many of them, it's such a convoluted situation, you can't see who's in charge of what.
So what do we do?
What I just said. You make a Department of Transport. You make a department for roads and highways and pavements. And you make a department that's in charge of, I don't know, septic tanks and sewage. But the departments don't need to be any bigger than what you've got. Because if you went and split them all up, it wouldn't be any less people. It would be more, probably. But it would be much more efficient because you'd be able to see what they're doing. And you'd be able to measure who's in charge of that department. Why has this happened? So you've had this debacle at the airport. Who is in charge of that? Is it the DOI because they do the maintenance? Is it somebody else? Did we get any answer on that? No. And you're not going to get an answer.
Okay.
What you're going to get is it's not my fault.
We got to go. We're out of time, Tony. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, I know. We're always out of time, Andy, but think about it. Is it a good idea or not?
All right.
And we should all vote in the next election for somebody who says we need to do that.
Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. And
when the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Reuben Hardy ran a bus around Laxey apparently for a short time. Did he really? Before Percival's, there was Kane's Coaches based in Laxey. Harry Mitchell ran a bus to the Wheel and the Beach. Nicknamed the Squirrel, is that right? Oh, human life's here, isn't it? There's a one-armed bandit. There is a one-armed bandit arcade. It's called the Government, says 376. Oh, that's harsh, isn't it? Thanks also for the note regarding the airport. Can you ask the minister why there are two boarding pass scanners not being used? How much did they cost, and what's the point of having two boarding pass scanners that don't work? Does anybody know the story? They've been for years and they've not been used, says Andy. That's it. Gotta go. Get out of here. Into the sunshine. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
WINT.